This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiye Suwuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
Even before the war, food prices globally were somewhat on the upward trajectory. Drought in South America, high demand in China were among some of those factors that were driving prices up. And it seems like those will continue to prevail.
That's economist Wandile Silobo, who focuses on global food prices for South Africa's Agricultural Business Chamber. Details coming up. Also, Zambia and the Democratic Republic of Congo have signed a cooperative agreement to start manufacturing electric car batteries. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, the militia known as the Allied Democratic Forces, or ADF, has launched several attacks recently. Journalist Jafar Al-Katanti is in the town of Kalmi in the eastern DRC. He says the latest attacks were in Ituri province.
These two nights were bad for people in Ituri province because ADF attacked twice and killed 17 people.
He told VOA's Kate Bond Dawson the ADF fighters also kidnapped several people who have not yet been found. The attacks this week come after a series of attacks over 4 days that began a week ago. At least 40 people died. In addition, Al-Katanti says earlier this month the ADF attacked a prison and captured scores of prisoners who also have not been found. He says yesterday the DRC Army, known as the FRDC, presented several ADF captives to the media. The captives warned the ADF plans to spread further into the country.
And they will generalize their attacks in all the country. So it's not only about Beni and Ituri.
The ADF is allied with the Islamic State militant force, Al-Katanti says. So far, the ADF has not said why it is expanding its attacks, but it may be an effort to call attention to the group.
So if ADF wants to do a lot of attacks, it's some kind to let the world know that they exist and they are operating in Congo, not just in a small region of Beni.
The ADF is one of the largest of the more than 100 militia groups fighting in the eastern DRC. Seven are establishing a joint force to help the DRC stabilize the region and contain the fighting. A Nigerian aviation expert says some foreign airlines have cancelled flights to the country due to non-remittance of money earned in Nigeria. Emirates and British Airways cancelled flights to Nigeria due to non-remittance of money by the Central Bank of Nigeria. However, Nigeria's Apex Bank says it will remit funds owed the foreign airlines. Emirates Air says it will resume flights to Nigeria on September 11th. British Airways has not said when it will resume flights. John Ojikutu is a retired group captain with the Nigerian Air Force and an aviation expert. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye about the situation. He says the Nigerian government is correcting the situation because 80% of the country's earnings from commercial aviation comes from foreign airlines.
Well, from most of the things that we have read from the news media, and in particular, the issue that concerned the British, the Central Bank, I believe the reason why they were cancelling it was because of their money that was claimed to be blocked at the Central Bank. If you are trading with a country and your money is not going out, the necessary things you probably have to do is to cut down on the amount of businesses that you are doing, on the amount of privileges that you are giving to the other country. Airlines move from one country to the other because of what we call the bilateral air service agreement. there was a bilateral air service agreement between the two countries, which is based on commercial aviation with some kind of diplomacy inside it too. So something went wrong with that bilateral air service agreement. If I trade with you, you are supposed to trade with me. If I'm making so much money, I should be able to take that money back to my country the same way you should take back to your own country. Something went wrong along that line, and I think the government is correcting it.
All right, sir. In the meantime, what will be the implication of these flight cancellations to Nigeria to many Nigerians who want to travel abroad?
Well, I don't think the Nigerians who want to travel abroad will have much problem, because already, like I tell people, this is not the first time things like this will happen. It has happened in the past before, even during the military regime. It has happened. And people had to leave this place, cross the border to Cotonou, Benin Republic, and they had to go and board their flight to wherever they are going. It is only the country that will lose. And when I say the country, people say the government. We will still lose at the end of the day. Why? 80% of our revenue earnings on commercial aviation comes from these foreign airlines. 80% of our revenue earnings on commercial aviation come from this airline. So as at the time they start cutting off, the revenue starts going down. If you are listening to the news in the last 24 hours now, you will see what has been happening. The area they were not looking into before, government has started looking into it. And what is the area? There are a lot of domestic airlines that are owing government. But somewhere along the line, it is the foreign airlines money that have been used to shock all this area. So if they are reducing their flight, our earning is reducing. And when our earning is reducing, then we have to look inward. Something is missing. So some of the things that are missing is what the government is trying to look into now. From the foreign, from the domestic airline that are owing. And some of them have been owing for the past 13 years. If you say 30 years, some of them have even gone defunct. So the problem is more with the management of our resources in this country than the blame we are going to put on the foreign airline.
So as things are now, do you think the federal government or the Nigerian government can release the required funds to meet the needs or demands of the foreign airlines? And how long do you think this problem will persist?
It is very necessary for government to do that. It's very, I just told you now, if 80% of your revenue from a particular sector is coming from a particular direction, watch me, and every time I always challenge it, 80% of our earning in commercial aviation comes from the foreign airline. So if they don't do anything about it, it means your revenue will go down. Some of the domestic airlines, like I'm telling you, are also called domestic airlines. Not many of them can go on international route to compete with this foreign airline on the Basa route. I'm very frank with you. Not many of them can do that. So if you cannot compete with almost about 30 international airlines that are coming and going into this country. Some of them are coming 2 times a day. Some of them are coming 2 times a day. And if you cannot compete with them on international route, it means the earning they are making, you cannot compete with it. So that earning comes here. In all these news that I've had in the past 2 days, the government has not mentioned that these foreign airlines are owing for the services that are provided for them in this country. Government has not said, British Airways is owing. Emirates doing. I haven't had anything like that. Rather, the necessary things we need to do within the bilateral air service agreement are not being done. And we need to do it to sustain our earnings in commercial aviation.
That was John Ojukwutu, an aviation expert in Nigeria, speaking with reporter Mike Mbonye by phone from Lagos, Nigeria. Zambia and the Democratic Republic of Congo have signed a cooperative agreement to start manufacturing electric car batteries at a cost of $250 million. The two countries are home to 70% of key minerals needed in manufacturing electric car batteries. Katie Short reports from Lusaka.
Electric cars, which do not have combustion engines, do not produce any emissions, unlike those that use petrol or diesel. Emissions from cars seriously contribute to climate change and air pollution. Manufacturers have put in place measures to phase out fuel-powered vehicles in favor of only electric vehicles by 2030. Electric cars use rechargeable batteries using lithium, nickel, cobalt, and copper, which ensure that the batteries do not overheat or catch fire. Once operational, the proposed battery plant will create thousands of jobs and electric car batteries for both local and international consumption. The demand for local electric car batteries is still very low. Both Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema and his Congo DRC counterpart Felix Tshisekedi say the proposed battery plant will enhance the continent's economic growth. Economist Boyd Muleya is pleased with the proposed manufacturing plant.
Job creation and wealth creation are the top of our agenda in this process. And I think this is critical, especially that these two countries face so much high levels of inequality, high levels of poverty, and high levels of unemployment. So it actually is a wake-up call for countries to sort of embark on these joint ventures and partnerships that will enhance value in terms of realizing synergies from the mining sector.
Henry Kapata is the spokesperson for the government-owned Zambia Electricity Supply Corporation, or ZESCO. He says the entity is ready to roll out power charging ports across the country in preparation for electric vehicles.
ZESCO Limited is ready for the business fraternity to venture into electric vehicles. And I'm talking about the charging systems that will be dotted at safe public places for convenient purposes. Vehicles can be charged at home on residential tariff and equally charged on commercial tariff when you're on a journey.
Care for Nature is an NGO that promotes environmental conservation in Zambia. The organization's executive director, Samam Sonda-Kenz, is calling on the two governments to ensure strict adherence to environmental regulations.
Therefore, we are hoping that the Ministry of Mines will work together with the Ministry of Green Economy and Environment, the Environmental Impact Assessments and Environmental Project Briefs, including environmental management plans, are put in place to help prevent environmental degradation.
Electric cars are rapidly becoming more popular among consumers in developing countries, and the UN Trade Agency predicts that some 23 million will be sold over the coming decade. The market for rechargeable car batteries, currently estimated at $7 billion, is forecast to rise to $58 billion by 2024. The shift to electric vehicles is in line with ongoing efforts to reduce the world's dependence on fossil fuels and reduce harmful gas emissions responsible for climate change. I'm Kathy Short for VOA News in Lusaka, Zambia.
The United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization says food prices, which spiked this year because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, are beginning to drop. Russia and Ukraine are major producers of agricultural commodities such as wheat and sunflower oil, and traditionally feed large parts of Africa. But experts are warning that in Africa it is too early to celebrate. Darren Taylor has more.
The UN agency measures monthly changes in global prices of five food commodities: cereals, dairy products, meat, sugar, and vegetable oils. It says there have been significant drops in costs of oil, wheat, and maize, mostly because of a deal which resulted in Russia finally allowing grain exports from Ukrainian ports. Economists say the price drops provide relief to people in wealthier nations, but aren't significant enough for poorer regions like Africa, where a lot of basic foods remain out of reach to millions.
Even before the war, food prices globally were somewhat on the upward trajectory. Drought in South America, high demand in China were among some of those factors that were driving prices up, and it seemed like those will continue to prevail.
Economist Wandile Sihlobo focuses on global food prices for South Africa's Agricultural Business Chamber.
Yes, we will see prices coming off from around about the intense war levels, but we're not going back to the pre-war levels in the near term. We have to consider also the lag between the agricultural prices and what people pay in the retail prices when we think about food prices coming down and the other costs baked onto that, like fuel and the others. So I would say food price inflation in general will remain elevated, even though we will see agricultural prices somewhat softening from levels we saw around about April, March or so.
Sikhlobo says food prices across much of Africa continue to rise, in some regions by about 10% every month. Analyst at South Africa's Economic Justice Group, Mervin Abrams, says inflation like this is literally killing Africans. He says what's happening in South Africa mirrors the situation elsewhere on the continent. Abrams's group measures the monthly cost of about 40 food products needed by most households, such as bread and cooking oil.
That basket now stands at R4,775.59. And now that is about a 12% increase on last year. It is a R534.47 increase year on year in rand terms. That is having a massive impact on households. The cost of this basket of food already outstrips the kind of wage that about 50% of working people in South Africa bring into the household.
Sikhlobo says high fertilizer prices and weakening values of many African currencies also mean food prices aren't dropping as much as is needed.
We could see the headline food price inflation, which is the rate at which prices are rising, softening somewhat for much of the second half of this year. But going into the retail stores, looking for that decline on prices, you have to look into some time next year on seeing some bit of softening on some of those products, particularly vegetable oils, to an extent around about the grain-related prices, where we hope to see much more.
Good news, says Sikhlobo, is that the worst price hikes are over, and he hopes that more stability in global food markets will eventually result in food becoming cheaper across Africa. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
A UN monitoring committee is urging Benin and Zimbabwe to address alleged discrimination against minority and marginalized groups in their countries. The committee released findings this week on progress in seven countries whose records were under review. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination expressed regret that Benin's National Plan of Action Against Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Intolerance has been only partially implemented since it was adopted in 2014. While discrimination and hate speech remain prevalent, mainly against albinos, the committee said few people have formally complained about the crimes. Committee member Pansi Tlakula surmised it might be due to lack of awareness of available judicial remedies, lack of confidence in the justice system, or fear of reprisals on the part of victims. She said people with albinism are most victimized by the discrimination that pervades the society.
In our interactive dialogue with Benin, the committee raised concerns about reports that people with albinism are often subjected to extreme physical attacks, stigmatization, and discrimination based on beliefs related to witchcraft and skin color.
The committee urged Benin to take effective measures to protect people with albinism from such vicious behavior and to ensure they have equal access to education, health, and employment. Regarding Zimbabwe, the committee said it was pleased with the positive measures taken by the government to implement the Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. However, Tlakula said the committee was disturbed by reports that atrocities committed during the Gukurahundi violence of the 1980s continue to be a source of ethnic tension. Around 20,000 Ndebele-speaking people were killed in Matabele land and Midlands provinces by government forces in the 1980s. Tlakula said many victims remain traumatized. She said the committee is concerned that they are barred by state agents from participating in mourning and commemorative activities.
It urged Zimbabwe to take measures to ensure that mourning and commemorative activities can be conducted without restrictions or threats. It also called on the state party to ensure that the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission fulfills its responsibilities to provide a platform for post-conflict public truth-telling.
The committee also criticized the widespread discrimination against people who work in the informal sector or as domestic laborers, noting most are Black women who face low wages and work in dehumanizing conditions. The UN experts requested Zimbabwe amend its labor laws to end discrimination on the grounds of race, class, and gender. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The UN peacekeeping mission in Mali, MINUSMA, says 50 people were killed in April in an operation by the army and foreign personnel. MINUSMA says the incident happened on April 19th during a sweep of the municipality of Hombari. This after one of their convoys was attacked by a roadside bomb. According to the French news agency AFP, the UN says scores were killed, including a woman and a child, and more than 500 arrested. Officials did not specify the foreigners involved, but AFP says some sources say a Russian advisor deployed with Mali's army was killed in the blast. Western intelligence says Mali's ruling junta has brought in mercenaries with Russia's Wagner group to fight Islamic extremists. Human Rights Watch says in March, the army or foreign forces killed about 300 people in central Mali. In Burkina Faso, an 83-year-old American nun who was kidnapped in April has been freed. Sister Sue Ellen Tennyson was taken from her bed by 10 gunmen in the parish of Yalgo, where she had worked since 2014. The bishop of the Diocese of Kaya, Theophile Nari, announced her release, but said he had no details on the negotiations that freed her. Church officials say Sister Tennyson, who is with the Congregation of the Maronites of the Holy Cross, is in good health, though was abducted without her blood pressure medicine. The Associated Press notes that groups linked to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State in the Sahel take foreign hostages for ransom to fund their operations. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, and our engineer, Zubair Al-Tayeb, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station.